I actually liked this format, the way they had the qualifier set up, which led into the Super 12s. West Indies, World T20 champions.
Two editions back, two times.
The only country to have won the T20 World Cup twice, to then bow out in the qualification stage. Shocking, but again, don't take anything away from all the teams that managed to beat these giants, right?
But to your point, Maz, it made me feel both good as well as sad. Because watching teams like Netherlands, Ireland, Zimbabwe, yes, they've been relatively successful in this tournament, but the quality is not there. This is not the Zimbabwe of 2003. Maz, talk to me a little bit about how rain is going to impact this tournament.
I don't know what the weather is in Australia at this point, what it's supposed to be. Maybe the rains are freak. What my problem is having back-to-back games at the same venue. You have to have reserve days or backup options.
My opinion, India's good. Wicked. We got this. We may not win the tournament, but we're making it through.
We've got it till the knockouts.
Yeah,
then,
exactly.
Then we don't know.
Then we might mess up. Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of All About Sports, the podcast, a podcast by the fans, for the fans. Today you're joined by two of your co-hosts. We have Mazhar.
Hey there.
And myself, Rishabh. Before we get into this week's episode, a quick reminder of last week's episode. We talked all about fights between teammates. So when teammates across sports kind of got into it with each other, it's a really rare, it's not actually that rare, but relatively rare instance that we covered. And we covered a few instances across history, specifically starting off with the Draymond Green, Jordan Poole incident that happened this offseason. So do check out that episode. Let's get into this week's episode. It's going to be all about the ICC T20 World Cup that's currently ongoing. It's been a bit of a weird tournament, some wonky standings currently that we'll get into. But it's all about that. We're going to talk about ICC's organization of tournaments. We're going to talk specifically about this tournament and who are our favorites in each group. And finally, we'll wrap it up with some predictions for the rest of the tournament. Maz, I'm going to keep it a little open-ended for you first off and hand it off to you and ask you, what's your general feeling about the tournament so far? It's been a bit of a weird tournament, a little bit hard to call, mainly because of things that are sort of out of the players' hands. But take it away, Maz.
Krishnan, you know my thoughts on T20 cricket in general. I'm not the biggest fan, but I actually liked this format, the way they had the qualifier set up going, which led into the Super 12s.
Which I couldn't meant agree more, Maz.
So I really enjoyed the qualifiers more than these games because we don't know these teams, right? We don't know how they play. We've not watched them enough on live telecast because we don't get it. So watching the UAE, Netherlands, of course, Zimbabwe were in the thick of things. West Indies, World T20 champions.
Two editions back.
The only country to have won the T20 World Cup twice, to then go out, bow out in the qualification stage, which I mean, honestly, I want to say I wasn't surprised because they've had so much going on themselves. They're not a coherent unit, so to speak. There's been too many issues. They're all more focused on playing cricket as a commercial viable option, as a job. It's not, it doesn't seem like the West Indies cricket team has that passion to play anymore. It could be because of the simple thing that, I mean, at the end of the day, that several nations coming together as Caribbean islands and making a team called West Indies. Of course, it's sad to see the demise of West Indies cricket. I don't want to go so far to say demise, but like the downfall from being the strongest nation in cricket, right? The one nation that everyone was terrified to go up against. In fact, India got its name in cricket because of the fact that we beat West Indies in 1983 to win the World Cup. So it just says so much about how that has just collapsed suddenly. Bad management on West Indies cricket board's part. I don't want to fault the players because at the end of the day, of course, they do have some connect. At the end of the day, it's still pride for them. I mean, they are the best that those regions can offer at the end of the day. So they do have some commonality in that sense. And they are all athletes. They want to win. That's why they are playing at the highest level of sport. So But shocking. But again, don't take anything away from all the teams that managed to beat these Giants, right? Give credit where credit's due. Zimbabwe, for me, have been the most enjoyable team to watch. And I'm not saying that because they beat Pakistan. Yes, they did beat Pakistan. That's amazing on its own. For me personally, I thought Pakistan are the team to watch, in fact. They've been the most consistent team in T20s, T20 internationals. They've, in fact, before the game that India and Pakistan had this time in the group stages, in the Super 12s, they were ahead of us 2-1 in 2021 in terms of T20s. So, and I mean, they also beat us in the previous edition of the T20 World Cup, and that led to us getting knocked out and not making the semi-finals as well. So I don't care what you say. You can say Pakistan bottled it or whatever. You still have to perform on that pitch. Every single player on that Pakistani team, yes, a lot of them are young. And at the end of the day, they've been playing a lot of international cricket. They played against England. They played against Australia. They beat both of those teams as well. Zimbabwe is not the same at the same level yet, but their hustle and the drive, and you could see they really wanted it when you watched that game. Every ball that went through, every chance that they missed, you could tell that they were getting angry because they knew that this was the only opportunity they had to do something special, and they took it with both hands. Sikandar Raza is, my God, what a second coming of this guy. He has, at this point, Pakistan will be like, I wish he stayed back. but absolutely unbelievable player. He's probably the best limited overs. He's the most informed limited overs all-rounder currently. He scored, what, 6 centuries in the last 15 innings or something in limited overs formats. In 50 overs, he scored that. He's got some absurd record. Takes wickets. He's got nerves of steel. Great fielder. Leads the team with a lot, even though he's not captaining the side. He's vice-captain, if I'm not wrong. He was captaining them for quite a few games in between. I know I'm harping on about Zimbabwe, but let's not forget Ireland again and again and again.
And always against England. Always against England.
It's something about England, isn't it, Krishnan? I'm not even talking about cricket. In sport in general, in football as well, they always end up losing to their rivals at times. Like, it's happened against Wales. It's happened against Scotland. Well, they've not lost much to Scotland, but there have been upsets in the past as well in football too. But it's always Ireland who just seem to get the better of them in cricket. It's like all that pent-up anger and aggression after they took Owen Morgan and then made him England captain, and then he wins the World Cup with them. No, but jokes apart, it's T20s allowed that. Because it's such a short format. And this reminds me of us talking about women's tennis as well, right? Where we see so many upsets because it's a shorter format. There's no chance in my head if it's a test match. Or maybe even a 50 overs game that this happens. It's the charm of the 20 overs because you know that you have 20 overs, 10 wickets in 20 overs. Ideally, you have 7 batsmen. You'd imagine that at least those 7 batsmen will play out 15 overs. You would imagine that. Ideally, in an ideal scenario, each batsman will at least play 12 balls. Come on. Like, even if they play and miss, 5 balls will go like that only. Another 7 you need to survive. Maybe you'll hit 2-3 boundaries in those 7 remaining balls. That leaves another few. Then if you get out within that, still you'll make it. You will make it to the 20 overs somehow, hustling. And now, let's not forget, a lot of these guys as well, the Zimbabweans, the Irish, play a lot of county cricket. And there is a lot of T20 in county cricket as well, especially in England, with the 100 as well. Firstly, I know that's not T20, but it's a short format. And then they have their T20 blast as well. Then they also play 20 overs otherwise, in other franchise cricket, in the like the Big Bash, some of them. Obviously, IPL, not a lot of them, given it's the creme de la creme. But then you have the Pakistan League, then you have the Bangladesh League. These guys play there. It's just that international exposure that is making all the difference.
I was going to say, you're bang on. And this has been the best part of the World Cup for me as well. And I think we said this once before. I think about the Asia Cup. We were so critical of ICC after that last World Cup, right? The 2019 World Cup was a 10-team World Cup, which was just disappointing to see because we, you know, cricket is a sport that's played by so few countries, and they narrowed it even further in the World Cups by not allowing more countries to join. I love that the ICC has found that, okay, the main tournament, let's try and keep it to a few teams, but have this qualification round to make sure you allow the smaller teams to come in and give them an opportunity to play. But to your point, Maz, it made me feel both good as well as sad, because watching teams like Netherlands, watching teams like Ireland, watching teams like Zimbabwe, yes, they've been relatively successful in this tournament, but the quality is not there. This is not the Zimbabwe of 2003 with Heath Streak and the Flower Brothers. This is not even the Netherlands of a few years ago with the random talents of like Dirk Nannis or
Ryan Tenderskate was just the ultimate. He was a demigod, man.
Exactly.
What a player.
Exactly. Even now you look at the Irish team, some of the players that are coming through, like Paul Sterling has been in that team forever. He's going to, you know, soon be an outgoing player. There is a little bit of a feeling of the quality is not there. And in T20 cricket, you can somewhat paper over those cracks because, like you said, it's 20 overs. You need to survive and have hit enough to survive like 20, 30 balls. One person survives for 30 balls and hits enough. It's going to create at least a challenging total where you can cause some chaos. But to your point of them struggling in any other format, I completely agree with you. They're not going to be successful teams in ODI or T20 cricket, but the ODI or test cricket rather. But like you said, the positives are, if they start to play more and more and more T20 cricket, at least get exposure to the top talent, even at the T20 level, hopefully they can build up that talent to soon start competing in the ODIs and tests as well. Similar to a trajectory Afghanistan is somewhat having, right? Similar to the trajectory...
But Krishnan, let's not forget one thing about Afghanistan. They're getting the funding from the BCCI at the end of the day. So that helps them multifold. They play a lot of their home games in the UAE or then even in Dharamshala. In fact, they train in Dharamshala, if I'm not wrong, most of the time, the Afghanistani players. It comes down to you need the financing as well. Germany are doing an incredible job because someone's pushing in money. The Deutschland Cricket Board, it's called, I believe. They are actually funneling so much money into that where people are now actually doing it full time. And I think that's where things are changing. What helps Zimbabweans is that a lot of them are anyway tied up to contracts in England with all these English counties. So there's regular cricket. The problem is, like I said again, there's too much of T20 cricket that they're playing because it's hard for them to prove their mettle in the longer formats because they don't have first-class cricket at the levels that the major nations do, like in Australia, England, South Africa, even for that matter, India, of course. So I think that's where it's tricky.
And I think this is like, to your point, where kind of organizations can come together, right? I think a big reason for the growth of Irish cricket is their linkage to the ECB. A lot of the Irish cricket that is played either in association with English tournaments or against England. Like a lot of, you know, Ireland's international cricket is played either in a tri-series with England or just directly against England. This is why I think countries need to come together. And I think similar to what the development that Ireland has seen along with England, as well as the development of cricket that maybe has stalled a bit with Bangladesh, but historically has been the case for Bangladesh, the development of cricket in Bangladesh alongside India, Pakistan and Sri Lanka, and now Afghanistan joining that group, I think countries like Zimbabwe need that support from, say, the South Africa. Yeah. South Africa, Kenya and, you know, Zimbabwe, similar to the 2003 World Cup, have to kind of band together and almost form a unit to work together. The issue, I think, will continue to be like similar to West Indies. The cricket board of Zimbabwe is continuously marred with controversy and corruption, and the BCCI is able to paper over any cracks that corruption has because there's so much money. Even if corruption eats up 20% of it, 80% is still a massive, it's still such a big pie that there is still so much to go around. Zimbabwe, unfortunately, don't have that same luxury. I don't want to harp on this point too much longer because I think we're all loving the associate nations playing, and I'm hoping everyone, they have some more luck through the rest of this tournament. I do want to quickly cover two other pieces of this tournament that have been gnawing at me that we have to talk about. Issue number one, rain. Rain has just been this unbelievably annoying kind of mood downer for this entire tournament, primarily because there have been so many games that have been washed out. I think England, if I'm not mistaken, have had two games that have been affected by the rain, including a marquee game, which was England versus Australia, completely washed out. They end up losing the game against Ireland because the game is cut short and Duckworth Lewis coming into play. I did think Ireland deserved the point there, so I don't really think England was robbed by any means. But, you know, it does kind of ruin the whole energy of the game. Maz, talk to me a little bit about how rain is going to impact this tournament and what do you expect to see because of that?
Honestly, I mean, if there was a forecast of rain, and this is why I was critical of England hosting the World T20, the Test Championships as well. They hosted, what did they host recently? The Champions Trophy, was it? It was the Champions Trophy, right?
Yep.
Even that was marred by rain. How are the ICC choosing their venues? I mean, it's, you know what the scenario is going to be in these countries. I understand England, it always rains, so you don't have a choice, but you have to have reserve days or backup options, especially in a situation where each team is playing each other just one time. So it comes down to do or die. Like we discussed, right, the other day, where South Africa absolutely clobbered
Zimbabwe.
Who were they playing?
Zimbabwe. Yeah.
I'm glad it worked out because now Zimbabwe actually have a chance to qualify, realistically have a chance to qualify, if they beat Bangladesh especially. But the thing is, they got clobbered in that game. Didn't deserve that point by any means. De Kock scored 23 runs in the first over. They were going at a run rate of 20 or something after three overs. And just because they couldn't finish the quota according to the Duckworth Lewis method, they had to share the points. I understand that. It's always been the system. But it's so, like, it's in your face. It's in your face. If someone's going at 20 and over, they've smashed you, like, torn you apart. And especially in a smaller, shorter format like T20s, in the 50-over game, I got it. I understood it. Firstly, Duckworth Lewis is a horrible system. Sadly, no one's been able to find another system. The thing is, everyone's accepted it because you know it's in black and white. The rules are in black and white, so you can't help it, so you can't debate it. But it's so frustrating, and I'm not like, I mean, even Zimbabwe would agree that, you know, it's utterly ridiculous. But I mean, it is what it is, Krishnan. If they knew that it rains in Australia at this time, I don't know what the weather is in Australia at this point, what it's supposed to be. Maybe the rains are freak. So you want to give ICC the benefit of the doubt, but they need to find another system. What my problem is having back-to-back games at the same venue. They used to never do that because you have two games, but have it on different grounds. Viewership is anyway, it's mainly TV rights with cricket anyway. It's not about who's coming through the gates. It's about how many people are watching in TV. How many people in India specifically are watching on TV. You can easily have two different games at two different venues. So I think that's the only issue I have because, I mean, Australia and England didn't play because it was a wet outfield. The rain had stopped, but there was so much water on those covers that when they lifted it off as well, there was a massive pool of water everywhere. So they couldn't take to the field and play. And that's Australia and England, which is potentially the biggest game in the T20 World Cup. Potentially a World Cup final match. Absolutely absurd and bad planning, according to me. But I'm not complaining because I'm not complaining simply because it's always been like this. So like we've grown up knowing that this keeps happening. So now it's just like, okay, it's happened again. Okay, it's happened again. I honestly didn't bat an eye to it till you brought it up, Krishna.
And you know, it's so funny. I feel like at some point, I don't know when this was, this trend started to come up of potentially having covers for stadiums, like having covered stadiums for cricket. And as soon as it came, I feel like it went away. And I feel like it's pretty relevant for cricket, right? I mean, it would be a pretty helpful thing to have. I know there has been one case, like a few cases where it's hit the ceiling, but it's relatively rare where that ever happens. And I feel it's as common to hit the spider cam, and we still keep the spider cam in cricket. So I am a little surprised that more stadiums haven't done this. I completely didn't even think about your point. I don't know why they don't have reserve days. So I looked it up just now. They only have reserve days for the final and the semifinals. Finals,
yes.
But nothing I feel like they should probably just keep like two reserve days for like any matches, like a few of the matches that are like close, or maybe if teams are tied, maybe they can play off their matches or something like that to make sure that, like you said, important fixtures aren't getting ruined due to the rains. The other point I have to bring up before we go is that South Africa-Zimbabwe game, which is my biggest pet peeve right now. It drove me insane watching that game. For those of you who didn't see it, you don't really need to watch the game. It's not a particularly entertaining game. But it was shortened due to rain. South Africa basically needed to chase down something like 72 of 8 overs. Like Mas said, they scored 23 of the first over and they scored 51 within 3 overs. The minimum amount of cricket that needs to be played is 5 overs in T20 cricket. As long as they would have been allowed to walk onto the pitch, South Africa would have won that game because they already made the Duckworth-Lewis total that would have been the case if it was a 5-over game. And just because it didn't, there was so much rain, they literally couldn't walk out to keep playing. South Africa lost that game. To me, if you've made the total that Duckworth-Lewis would have said with the lowest number of overs, you should just win the game, in my opinion. So that was an insane result. And I want to shout out Zimbabwe. One additional thing I want to, you know, credit them for, even in that game where really it was in their favor to waste time, they didn't waste time. They really didn't waste time. They kept trying to finish the game. They were not trying to waste time at all. They came out to the pitch on time. They were going through their overs as quickly as they could. They, in fact, injured a bowler, one of their pace bowlers. I've forgotten his name because it was so wet. The conditions are so wet. So total credit to them. There's a lot of, like you said, randomness with the fixtures that are going to come up because of the rain. Like you said, though, I don't know how to feel about it because part of me is annoyed that there's so many games canceled. But then the other side of me says, well, at least Ireland won that game for sure. We didn't even get to check if Moeen Ali could have scored a quick, you know, 50 to win that game against England. Zimbabwe lucks out with a point. And what's been weird is, Maz, group two has been pretty lucky. Barring South Africa and Zimbabwe, who've had one game messed up by rain, that's it. Every other team's been able to play. Somehow group one is taking the brunt of all of it. New Zealand has lost one game. England has lost one game. Ireland has lost a game. And I mean just a game, completely lost a game, meaning had to tie points. Australia has missed a game. Sri Lanka has missed. Sri Lanka is the only one who's not missed a game. Afghanistan have missed two games. So it's completely been marred by the rain so far. And I don't even want to get into the venues thing. The venues thing makes no sense to me. Barring like, maybe it's easier for the organizers to have two games at the same stadium. No sense. If it rains in one place, you jinx and botch both games, which is just a complete nonsensical situation. But I don't even get into it. That's such an easy thing to pinpoint as being an issue. Let's finally talk about just the cricket, what has been played when they've actually gone into the field, Maz. I'll let you go with it with group one. Maz, what do you think of this group? Who gets out of this group?
This is, I mean, when I saw this group, it was like, man, what have they done? It's like all the heavyweights in one group. Honestly, I would say three of the favorites in one group. And then India is always there, perennial. But so it means that one team misses out, which means it's easier for India, to be very honest. India and Pakistan, honestly. Pakistan have shot themselves in the foot right now. Making it extremely difficult for them to still qualify. So group one, I would say New Zealand will go through for sure. They're looking very solid. They absolutely mauled Sri Lanka. I'm not And I mean, I know Sri Lanka also lost to Namibia, so it's not been the greatest of times for them. Good for them that they won the Asia Cup, but that's about it. It ends there. So I would say New Zealand for sure. I think New Zealand will top the group. I have to say Australia, man. They're at home. They'll find a way. They'll find a way for sure. Obviously, unless rain plays spoil sport, then you can't help it. England, I don't know. England haven't looked great to me. Like, they haven't looked absolutely convincing. I'm not even mentioning just the Ireland game. Even in the lead up to the tournament, we absolutely mauled them in the warm up game as well. And we didn't have the best bowling unit at the time either. So, yeah. So for me, it's going to be New Zealand, Australia. Group two, there's no question at this point, India is going to make it through. And that's my worry again, because we always peak too soon. And then when it comes to the knockouts, it takes us one small mistake or one bad day and we're out. That World Cup, we were so good, so good. And just that one off day we had against New Zealand and we were out. So I would say that's where, and the second team, I think South Africa will make it.
And I'll start with group two first. My opinion, India's good. Like, I'm not trying to be too cocky, but we're good. We got this. We're gonna may not win the tournament, but we're
Yeah,
making it
we've
through.
got it till the co till the knockouts.
Yeah,
Then we
exactly.
don't know.
Then we might mess up, but we'll get to the knockouts. I'm gonna say Pakistan make a recovery. I mean, this is definitely the easier group. I don't know how India always does it. This is such an comparatively much, much, much easier group. I expect South Africa to stumble along the way somehow. I don't know why. They definitely look like the second best team in this group. Muzz, we got to the. I think we know who our semifinalists are. Who do you think makes it through to the final, and who is your winner of the tournament?
Now that you asked finalists, so it will be New Zealand and second, and then
Yep.
first would be
India and.
India and then Australia. Oh
Yeah.
man. Oh man. That's the tough one. I would have to say, I think a lot comes down to the toss, Krishnan. Like honestly, in T20s especially, a lot does come down to the toss. So if you're
The one thing I want to
go
quickly
ahead.
add before you go for your predictions, this has been a little bit of a change from what we've talked about so much in T20 cricket, which is the team chasing always wins. This has been a massive exception. This tournament has been a huge exception to that. A lot of teams choosing to bat first and a lot of teams batting first actually winning. So toss still matters, but the decision that teams are making after winning the toss and the teams that are winning the games are kind of contrary to what we would have generally seen in T20 cricket, which is chasing sides always
No,
win.
I absolutely agree. My only reason why I'm mentioning the toss is because I think India Australia will come down to the toss. According to me, whoever wins the toss will win the game. It's as simple as that, according to me. On the day, you'll need some exceptional performance, which is likely to happen from either side. Let's not forget that. We're talking about two of the world's best teams. So I don't want to be that guy, but I'm going to have to say, I think it's going to be the winner of that game will win the cup, according to me. I don't want to discount New Zealand, but I don't see it. I just don't see it. I don't think they lack the character. I just think India and Australia have that one. They are able to hit that sixth gear. I think New Zealand only have a fifth gear. So that I think it just comes down to that. It's the caliber of the teams at the end of the day. I think New Zealand are a very strong, well-rounded unit, but I have doubts on Tim Southee. I have doubts on Ish Sodhi. I have doubts on their opening batsmen as well. I'm not too confident about their middle order. Devon Conway didn't score runs. There are too many question marks if all these New Zealand players can deliver on an every match basis. So I think that's why I would pip Australia or India, whoever wins that, to take the cup. Simply because there are people, you know, when you look at those teams who will be there and do something and consistently do something. Your Mitch Marsh, if he's fit, always produces results for Australia. Finch ends up being a big game player. No matter what you say, when the going gets tough, he does get going. Matthew Wade has turned over a new leaf. He's looking like a phenomenal player now. Pat Cummins, man, absolute monster. So I think the only department where they are lacking a bit is the spin department. So Ashton Agar and Adam Zampa. I think they're great. Obviously, it's home advantage for Australia. So that's why they will do well. But Indians are great at spin. So that's why I think India are like a safe bet in that sense. You know what you're going to get from the team. KL Rahul's my only biggest doubt. I think he needs to go. Even at this stage of the tournament, I know he's vice captain and all of that. He just can't cut it. He's not a big match player at all. And I've always been one person who's been on his side, but I can't. Like, I just can't. I think we have enormous talent on that bench of ours. We have depth in our squad. I would, if required, I don't want Virat to open with the form that he's in now. I would keep him where he is. You don't want to mess around with Virat. He's touch wood. He's back. I would bring Pant in as well. And then probably promote Dinesh Karthik up the order or do something of that sort. The only problem is we don't have another good opener. And that's my only worry.
I think the two things I've heard, which I didn't come up with, a friend mentioned to me, was either opening Pant or opening Kohli, I think are the two options. If we do drop KL, yes. Which is a tough...
So that, yeah, that's the thing. So like, I don't mind that happening. Open with Pant, all guns blazing, hit or get out. Because I'd rather have that than have Rahul playing there gingerly, not looking confident at all, scoring four runs in eight balls, and then it leads nowhere. Because Rohit is being the aggressor otherwise. And that's not Rohit's natural game to start off like that. He's an absolute monster after the first 10-12 deliveries. But you want to give him those 10-12 deliveries. And so if someone else is willing to be the aggressor, Rishabh Pant is that guy. Fearless, hit or get out. If it comes off, great. Then we're in for a mammoth score. If it doesn't come off, fine. We have Virat coming in. Virat can then cement one end, and then Rohit can go all guns blazing. So I think there's a lot to think about in terms of that. I'm still not confident about Arshdeep. I know he's good with the new ball, but that's about it. India's death bowling still worries me. It's only Shami who is really consistent with his death bowling. Bhuvi has really aged. I hate to say it, but it's true. Ash and Akshar Patel, you know what you will get from them. Akshar is still hit or miss, given that... But he's a smart guy and he adds the batting element to it. Ashwin's just a master. He's been brilliant so far as well. No one wants to mess with him. No one takes him on. You take him on, you're in trouble yourself. So, honestly, on paper, you've still got to say India's got to do this, man. But it never works out like that, does it? So, I'm just going to keep quiet. I'm going to say Australia to lift the cup again, back to back.
Ham, okay. I know you're going to hate me saying this, Maz, but India, weirdly, might have loved having an Ishan Kishan right about now. I know he's not a player who's of the top caliber, but weirdly, this is the one situation in which he probably perfectly would have just slotted in. We just need an opener.
Agreed, Krishna. Yeah. Agreed. But I don't think he's ready for the Australian bounce.
I don't even think he's a long-term solution. I just think for this tournament, in this situation, we could have used him weirdly.
Krishna, I agree. I agree. I'm not even going to call you out on that. My only problem with Ishan Kishan is that I think he doesn't realize how good he is. And that's my issue. He is I wouldn't say he's wasting his talent. He needs to realize that he didn't start his career as a flair player. He was all about technique. He has left that technique behind. And that is what frustrates me about it. Because if he still stuck by that technique, he could be he could be playing cricket like Kohli does. That's how good he can look. So that's what frustrates me with him. He's been playing cross-batted shots. He's just swinging blindly because he's influenced by T20s. And because he has a responsibility towards Mumbai Indians because they paid so much for him. And that's changed his game. And that's why he suffered in the process. So, but I agree. Like, why not try him? Because anyway, I feel like Rahul's a dead weight right now. He's not adding anything to the team.
I totally agree. He plays to bat the long innings, but if he gets out early, which he has been for the longest time, it's completely meaningless because he doesn't get quick runs on the board in the first power play. And he also is not batting, you know, very long into the inning. So a friend and I were discussing this and he made this good point of right at the point where he's about to get dropped, he's probably going to score a 50. So let's expect a 50 from him in the next innings. But Muzz, I'm going to go completely against, well, semi against what you said. My personal opinion, first semi-final, which I predict to be India-Australia, I'm seeing Australia go through. Australia's tournament play, similar to what you said, is just at another level and they just have the players to just clear the boundary when they need to. Maxwell somehow keeps getting into that squad for, I don't know, because his name, I literally don't know why he's in that team, but they'll figure out a way. They'll be in the final. I think New Zealand make it through as well against Pakistan, which is my prediction. And I'm saying, Muzz, New Zealand finally breaks the big tournament curse. They win their first T20 World Cup, getting revenge on Australia from the last one. I so hope for that. I feel so bad for these guys. They were in the 2015 World Cup, 2019 World Cup final, the 2021 T20 World Cup final. Give these guys something finally. I think it's finally going to happen, even though on paper, for sure, Australia is the better team. They have all these cracks in the New Zealand lineup. Not barring Kane Williamson's look pretty poor in the T20 format of recently, which is so strange for us to see him be poor in any format. But I just think they'll come through in the end. I think they'll finally get that tournament. Like you said, though, Muzz, toss is going to matter so much when we get to the semi-finals and finals. One of the craziest things I've heard, which made me so happy that he's not our coach, Sunil Gavaskar, during one of the India-Australia series games recently, said that one of the things that captains need to practice for is the toss. If you've seen it be heads on multiple times in Mohali, you should be calling heads. This is the kind of research we need our captains to be doing. Made me delighted that Sunil Gavaskar was never in contention to be our head coach. I don't think we'll ever be in contention. One of the craziest things I've ever heard. But hopefully the toss goes in our favor.
Honestly, Krishnan, Sunil Gavaskar is aging. He's been... I don't enjoy his commentary at all anymore. He goes on about nonsense and his jokes are terrible. He needs to stop.
I know.
He needs to really stop.
I
didn't know about this toss thing. Oh my God.
I don't know what the opposite of aging like fine wine, maybe aging like sour milk, that has kind of been Sunil Gavaskar's.
That also sounds like something that Sunil Gavaskar would say.
Would say. But Muzz, thank you so much. Let's hope the rest of this tournament can go smoothly. Let's hope we get a little less rain. Thanks so much, Muzz. Do leave your thoughts in the comments. If there's any other team that you thought is interesting this tournament, anything else you'd like to see from ICC and or from the cricketing boards to come together, anything else you'd like to see from associate nations to hopefully help them develop in cricket. There's anything else you'd like for us to cover from a sporting perspective, DM us, leave a comment. If you enjoyed this, like, share it with someone else who might like it. Subscribe to our channel. We're on all the social media platforms as well as all the podcasting platforms. With that, thanks so much and we'll catch you again next week. Take care. If you like this episode, make sure to leave a like and share it with anyone else who might be interested. You can also subscribe on any social media platform that you prefer and all our links are in the bio. We also have a website with all our episodes as well as blogs and a whole lot of other sports content, so make sure to check that out as well.